Hi, and welcome to an understanding of God's Word for such a time as this. I'm your host, Minister Shanette Peterkin, and truly I am happy and delighted to be with you guys again on this Sunday evening here to discuss a few things as according to the Word of God. Last time we were talking about understanding of the times in order to know what to do. Prophetically, it's looking at the what's happening in our times, taking the Bible and using the Bible and scriptures to see now prophetically where we're at in the time and season that we're living in as of now. Doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what country you're in, doesn't matter city nor state, but what does matter is that you are prophetically seeing and having the mind of Christ, that you know what to do in whatever season that you are in and that you're faced with as of now. And so I thank you for tuning in. And again, we're going to pick up, this is part two from our first topic dealing with understanding the times in order to know what to do. Now, last time we came from, I think it was from First Chronicles chapter 12. In verse 32, and it was dealing with the scriptures of how the sons of Issachar, who were part of the tribes of Israel, were given the insight and the revelation on what was going on during their season, their time and season prophetically, so that they were it was relayed to them by God what was going on so that they could relay this to the children of Israel on what to do, give them insight, direction, wisdom. See, wisdom is the principal thing as a Christian or a child of God. We're living in the kingdom of God. We have to have understanding of what it is that God is telling or saying to the church and to the Christians in this nation or wherever you may be living. So tonight we're going to continue with our teaching on that. We're going to come from a different scripture here, and we're going to go to, I think, the book of, let's start here in the book of Amos, chapter 3. Okay. The book of Amos in chapter 3, we're still talking about how God relays to his people in this day and season, the same way he relayed the word of God to his prophets, to his leaders, his judges, whomever was leading God's people at that time during the Old Testament and the New Testament. Today, it's the same. God is speaking through the mouths of prophets. He's speaking through the mouths of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But the problem is the condition of our hearts and our ears spiritually on how we hear. And how we hear is based upon the condition of your heart. Do you have a heart that's receptive to truth? Do you have a heart that's receptive of truth? Do you have a heart that's ready to receive from God, whether you agree with it or not, whether it's your perception of things or not? You and I as Christian, as we stated before, have to be willing to cast down imaginations and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We have to bring everything unto the subjection or the obedience of Jesus Christ. And so when you and I become Christians, Christianity is not about just going to doing the externals. And what I mean by the externals is going to church or going to some religious service and doing good deeds and checking a box and saying that you paid your tithes and you help the poor. Now, those things are right and good in and of themselves, but this is not the way to arrive to righteousness, right doing, right being. Okay? You and I have to love not our lives. We have to lay aside our lives. We have to love not our lives even unto the death. So even if at the point of death, my life has to be, I have to surrender and yield my life totally into God's hand, meaning whether an outcome happens the way that I desire it to happen or not, that should not separate me from his love. That should not be a condition for me walking in obedience and living for him. And so God will allow upsets and disappointments in our lives to simply test to see if we are trusting him or will trust him, whether a thing happens or turns out to the way in the way that we want it or not. Okay. So tonight we're going to continue and we're going to pick up. We're going to start here again at Amos chapter 3. And I think we'll start at verse 7. But just give me a second and log into the system right quick. And Amos chapter 3, verse 7. And here we have in the scriptures, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now, the prophets were used during the Old Testament time. Today, God uses the believers. He uses the apostle. He uses the prophets. He uses the evangelist, pastor, teacher, and any heart that's yielded to him. And he will use individuals to relay or give insight as to the will of God. Last time we talked about Abraham, how God planned to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of his sin. It had reached his nostrils. He came down to see about it and to do something about it, to judge it. Okay. He had given time, opportunities for them to change, but there was a rejection. So God said man's heart, it was constantly, just like during the time of Noah, it was constantly set on evil. God allowed man opportunities to change, but man rejected it. So here he says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. It says, consequently, this is the grace spoken of here. These are notes I'm reading from this commentary. The Lord forewarned those whom he is about to judge. Such is done to provoke repentance. This is about knowing who your God is and how he works. It says that is impossible. That is, if possible, that the judgment be halted. So God can set his mind on certain things, doing certain things, allowing certain judgments to come to pass. But if he does a thing, the whole point and purpose is to get repentance, is to get the people of God or the people to turn in the right direction. Okay. So it says here in this particular scripture, he was about to judge. Such is done. Judgment is done to provoke repentance. Okay. Now notice that in the Bible, there's a point in time where God says that judgment must first begin in the house of God. See? So where are we at prophetically right now? We know we're not at the time of the great tribulation. Why? Because the church has not been raptured out. We know we're not at the point where it is the judgment of the nations, because why? There is no rapture of the church. The great tribulation has not occurred and we're not at that point. Okay. So where are we? He says in the scripture, I think it was in Peter, that judgment, we are at the point where the church is being judged, just like Israel was judged during its time, because Israel was the forerunner, the one to carry the gospel and the light of the gospel to the world. But because Israel got involved with idolatry and the worship of false idols and gods and rejected God and his way and his word, what happened was that Israel had to be provoked to repentance. It had to be, God had to allow his judgment to get Israel to turn from the error of his way. Why? Because had Israel not turned from the error of his way, how was he to evangelize or tell the world about a savior? So if the gospel be hid, it would have been hidden to those who are lost. Okay. So we have to understand that God is about saving souls. God is about redeeming the lost. And God uses great mercy and compassion to compel a world through judgment. See, we sometimes look at the judgment and just say how bad things are. We see stuff happening today, whether it's coronaviruses, whether it's the pandemic, whether it's sickness. It doesn't matter what it is. Look at it from the right perspective. It is God's love. It is the goodness of God, which brings about repentance. God oftentimes tries to woo his people back to him But it is us who pulls away from him. It is us who are, he said, if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Okay. And so we have to understand that God's love is always trying to woo us back to God the Father through repentance, through turning our faith back to the cross of Christ. Amen. So here we have that the scripture says that judgment must first begin in the house of God, or with the house of God. And so Israel, because they refused to turn to the living God and live according to God's way, God had to allow judgment. He had to allow punishment. And it was out of love that he would do this. Okay. So where are we prophetically? And I'm going to read you here in 1 Peter 4, and I think it's 17. It says here, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? He says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. So it is our job to continue to be faithful, even if we fall in the hands of suffering. Okay. So it doesn't matter what happens in this world, whether it's what happened with this election, what happens, what have you. God is in control. Our loyalty should always remain, and our trust and dependence should always remain in Christ and him crucified, regardless of the externals. Okay. There's a whole lot of evil. It's a whole lot of wickedness, spiritual wickedness, as the Bible says, going on in heavenly places. Now, I must go quickly because I want us to see some things. So I said that scripture in Amos chapter 3, that surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Okay. And then we read in 1 Chronicles, last time we were together, was 1 Chronicles 12:32. And of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. See, there are men and women who have understanding of the times that we live in, meaning that there are some things you see naturally going on that may cause some anxiety, that may cause some confusion, that may look chaotic, that may look like there's no end and there's too much wickedness and there's not enough judgment. You and I need to tap into the face of God by evidencing our faith, putting our faith in the cross of Christ, trusting in Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And so this should bring about peace. This, the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if he gives us power, love, and a sound mind by evidencing faith in the cross, then it doesn't matter what the enemy does externally. Yes, of course, we may be affected by some things, and it's normal as humans to feel a certain way, but we should not stay there. There comes a point in time where we have to grow up and depend and realize and trust and know that no matter what the thing looked like, no matter how difficult the situation may be, this is a cause and a reason God is using this to work it for my good, for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. See, we got to be about his purposes. And a lot of us are not about his purposes. We're about what we want the outcome to be and whatever aligns with that. But there's going to come disappointments in certain times in our lives where God's will is not our will. Our will is not God's will. And so therefore, when that happens through the disappointment, it is up to you and I by faith to align ourselves to the will and the way of God and trust that in his wisdom, he knows what's best. He can see further than I can see what's right before me. Okay. So never look at the external. This is why the Bible says you and I walk by faith, not by sight, not by how we feel. not by what the news media tells us, not by what the thing or situation look like. Okay, we walk by trusting Him, depending upon Him, cleaving to Him all the more, regardless of the situations that we are faced with. Amen. So I wanna go to Daniel chapter 7. We're still talking about understanding the season or the time that we're in to know what to do. So we see the sons of Issachar were given the knowledge and the insight as to what was happening prophetically during their time, so that they could relay it to the people and the people would know what to do. Understanding is the key. Understanding is the key in our life, in our life and living. If we get understanding, and I'm not talking about the wisdom that comes from the world, I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from God Almighty. When we get understanding of who God is, I mean, how God works and how we have access to God the Father, which is through faith in the Son. And so having faith and understanding in who He is and what He's done at Calvary will give us the wisdom that we need to know what to do in whatever season we're in. Now, during the time of the Romans, we had Christ in Luke chapter 19, 41. And during this time, Christ would look out into Jerusalem, the people of God, because they had been sold, they had walked away and turned away from God so much, they thought that because they were religious, that they knew and understood the things of God. They did not. They thought that because they were religious and did religious things, that they had access to God. They did not. So when Christ steps on the scene, Christ's presence revealed what's truly in their heart. Christ's His presence revealed what was going on in the heart and mind of these people. And so in Luke 19, verse 41, watch what happens. Remember, Christ was the incarnate of the Word of God. He came in the flesh, and He came to as the living Word. He was fully God and yet fully man. Okay. And so here in Luke 19, 41, we see here He's speaking and He's approaching the city. Okay. And it says in verse 41, and as He approached, He saw the city and wept. I'm reading in the Amplified Bible. And it says He wept audibly over it, exclaiming, "Would that you had known personally, even at least in this your day, the things that make for your peace or for peace." And it says in parentheses, "for freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as the result of sin, and upon which your peace, your security, safety, prosperity, and happiness depends." That's very powerful. Very powerful. I have so powerful. I have to read this again. Here in verse 42, He says, this is Christ looking as He approached the city. He wept audibly. Can you imagine Christ weeping audibly over this city? And they're like, what's wrong with them? They don't understand. So here, let me go back and read this for you again. It says, and as He approached, He saw the city and wept audibly over it, exclaiming, "I would that you had known personally, even at least in this your day, the things that make for peace." See, peace is the very thing that we need. Some of us have sold our, have exchanged our peace for bread. We've exchanged our peace for material things. We've exchanged our peace for temporary happiness. See what I'm saying? We've exchanged our peace so that we can get a little thing called something free. There's no such thing as free healthcare, free education, free college, free whatever. All they're doing is baiting you and I to exchange those things for your peace. Now look at what this peace is right here. This peace represents your freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as the result of sin, and upon which your peace, which is your security, your safety, your prosperity, and your happiness depends. So this is why Christ wept audibly, because He knew that God the Father, he and God the Father, the Godhead, had so much to offer the world. But the world thought that they had a temporary form of peace. They thought they had peace in the establishment of a temple that was glistening with beauty. They thought because they had a religious facility where they met weekly and they had scriptures. Now hear me, it's the same thing during the times that we're living right now. They put their security in their titles, in their positions, who they were, how much they offered or paid to these dues to this temple. It doesn't even have to deal with the temple, because you can put your security in your job, in your finances, and what you have accumulated materially, temporally, you see. And so, but they forfeited the peace that only God could give them, which represented true freedom. Many of us are fighting for freedom in this nation and in this country, but we have forfeited the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding. So here we have to learn that the reason for, see, they didn't, instead of them seeking Christ about why they were experiencing these things in their life and why Rome was conquering, had conquered them. They never dug a little deeper to see why it was they were experiencing the hardship and the control and the power and the bondage that was under the Roman authority or government. They never went down deeper. They looked more at the problem and cried out to God to fix the problem, but never addressed the issues or the symptoms or the root of the problem, which was sin. It was a neglect of approaching God according to God's way. Okay? The reason why Israel experienced this Roman bondage, being in bondage to Rome and to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians and to the Chaldeans and to the Medes and the Persians, it was due to sin in the house of God. So what did God do? He allowed his judgment upon the church. Judgment is just simply, it's not the end of the world. It's not God condemning the world. It's here God's chastening, trying to correct the church. Okay? So now what happened? Because Israel refused to see its true spiritual condition. Listen, I want you to hear me. Because they refused to see their true spiritual condition and repent and go back to living for God the right way, God, Christ says, he weeps bitterly because God, he came to offer them so much. Okay? They rejected him as Messiah. They rejected the kingdom of God. But they continue to be religious and in church. He says, but now they are hidden from your eyes. So what Christ came to reveal to them and give them was hidden. Why? Because they rejected truth. And when truth is rejected, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that God gave them over to believe a lie. Many of you are believing a lie, the lie of the media, the lie of what's on your TV, the lies that's passed down through family history and traditions, the lies of the world system. Some of us can't even acknowledge our wrong. We're so busy trying to fight to be right instead of being righteous. And God cannot bless you and give you those things that will lead you to true peace, because you've rejected. So he wept bitterly over the spiritual condition of God's people, God's chosen people who have been called to evangelize a world. Instead, they sunk lower than the world. They picked up the habits of the world, the gods of the world system. So Christ says, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For a time is coming upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank with pointed stakes about you and surround you and shut you in on every side. And they will dash you down to the ground. This is a result of not understanding the times and season. They did not understand the visitation of the Lord. They did not understand Christ's purpose in coming. And what I am saying to you is, more than anything, understand Christ's purpose in your life. Okay? We can fight for all kinds of things and fight to keep things a certain way in our nation. But if we don't understand why those things are happening, see, we don't understand why some things have been allowed to occur in this nation. If we don't understand why some people have been allowed to penetrate and infiltrate our government, we have to step back and we're going to see this in a minute. We have to step back and see why the church, what it is that God, why it is he's allowed these things to happen in a nation or in a church or what have you. And it was because of Israel's spiritual condition. What happened to the nation of Israel was due to a spiritual sin, a refusal to repent and go God's way. So he tells them, he's telling them what's going to happen because God had reached out to them time and time again to try to get them to see and understand the right way. So watch what he says here. He says in 44, and they will dash you down to the ground, talking about Jerusalem, and your children within you, and they will leave in you, they will not leave in you one stone upon another. All because you did not come progressively to recognize and know and understand from observation and experience the time of your visitation. You see this? That is when God was visiting you, the time in which God showed himself gracious towards you and offered you salvation through Christ. This is where we are today, church. This is where we are today. Now, the reason why we know that this is why Christ wept so, because look at what happens in verse 45. He goes into the house of God, the temple of God, which was supposed to represent the way of God. And it is so corrupt in verse 45. We're going to see this. It is so corrupt that Christ has to address what's going on in this temple. Okay. The judgment is dealing with the house of the people of God, the people that are supposed to be the representatives of God and his way. Now look at verse 45. Then he went into the temple, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, in a temple enclosure, and began to drive out those who were selling, telling them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a cave of robbers. And he continued to teach day after day in the temple, porches and courthouses. The chief priests and scribes and the leading men of the people were seeking to put him to death. Now, notice this. Instead of them embracing the what Christ has revealed and be willing to change and repent, they sought to put him to death. This is us today. Christ, if you and I embrace Christ as our personal Savior, the purpose of the gospel being planted in your heart and life as a Christian is for you and I to change. It is for you and I to understand that we have to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. We have to learn how to conform to his way. We have to learn how to live for him according to Jesus Christ, faith in Calvary. Remember, the Bible says, for without faith in the cross, it is impossible to please God. The only way that you and I can approach God, see, God is holy, just, and right, and we are sinful. We fall short daily. So it's not my goodness, nor is it anything that I can merit or earn. It is the goodness of God through what Christ did. So I can only approach God through faith in Christ. I can only have Christ as I embrace the message of the cross. It has to be the object of faith, who Jesus is and what he's done. And I can only access the cross as I learn to deny self. So I cannot embrace or identify with him by evidence and faith if I'm not willing to change. If I'm not willing to let the Spirit of God upon my faith being in the right object to move upon my heart to put to death the things of the flesh. the perspectives of the flesh, the biases of the flesh. Now, there's many things happening in the world in many ways that are contrary to the will and the way of God. And so here, the first thing, look what happens. After he goes in to the temple, you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Okay? And so he goes in and immediately he tries to cleanse and he drives out those who were selling, those who were making merchandise of you. See, there's a lot of people allowing the enemy to make merchandise of you. And he says, you have, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a cave of robbers or thieves. And he continued, and as he continued to teach and preach in the temple, instead of the chief priests, which are the religious leaders and scribes, embracing his teaching, it says the chief priests and scribes and the leading men of the people were seeking to put him to death. Are you putting to death the word of God that you have embraced in your heart? Now 48 says, but they did not discover anything they could do, for all the people hung upon his words and stuck by him. So they wanted to get him, grab him and kill him. But they knew that if they did, the people would come after them and look differently towards them than they did before. Okay. So we see here that the enemy, God, the Holy Spirit, was teaching, trying to get them to change their hearts, to repent. But they would not. Now, I want to show you some things also in Daniel chapter 9. And I have to move kind of quick because I have a lot to say and I have to say it fast. Okay. Now, look at this with Daniel. We're talking about how we have to progressively, day by day, recognize, know, and understand from observation and experience the time of your visitation. We have to understand the season that we're in. Now, what's happening now, we are in a battle of good versus evil here in the United States. And this is happening around the world. This has happened around the world. There are nations, and we've said this before, that have embraced the socialist communist movement. There's nations that have chosen to embrace those things that are contrary to the way of God. Governments that desire to put the people in bondage. Governments that desire to take away freedom of choice, freedom of speech, freedom to bear arms, freedom, whatever these constitutional rights are, or God-given rights, which are ensconced in our constitutional law. There are people at work in the name of peace and safety, and they're looking out for your good, but they're really using those things to take away your rights. This is a spiritual warfare that you and I are engaged in. Not everybody will see this properly. Okay. Now, we just read how Christ wept because they didn't understand that because they refused to embrace Christ as Savior and as the object of their faith and depend upon him wholeheartedly, that Christ tells them that Rome was going to come in and destroy them. And that prophecy, see, they had to understand the time and the season they were in. Those who were religious, those who wanted to hold to titles and positions were destroyed. Not one true saint or follower of Jesus Christ was in that destruction when Rome came in 70 AD and through Titus and destroyed the temple and Jerusalem. Okay? You see that? It's the same thing presently. If you and I don't have the mind of God, don't have the understanding of God, nor the way of God, you can get caught up and lose your life prematurely because you have refused to discern the Lord's body. Remember he said, for many eat and drink unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, not knowing how to apply faith in any given circumstance and situation. So he said, because of this, many are weak, many are sick, and many sleep. Okay, so those Jews who refused to embrace and recognize the visitation, the time of their visitation, that God was there visiting them, and in which God showed himself gracious towards them. See, if there was judgment, God was willing to use the judgment to bring them to repentance. There was some good that could be brought out of the judgment. What am I saying? With COVID-19 pandemic, there's some good that can come out of it, because we can take the time to acknowledge our wrong as a church, to see the error of our heart and seek God for repentance. And I want to show this here. This is in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Bear with me. Look at the heart of Daniel. Now, he makes intercession on behalf of Israel. And he begins to see, and if you read in the previous chapters, he has a vision in chapter 8, verse 26. And it says the time of the vision. It says, and the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true, wherefore shut thou up the book of the vision, for it shall be for many days. And this is a vision that Daniel had about some things that was going to occur in the future with the nation of Israel, him and his people. He said, and I Daniel fainted and was sick certain days. And afterwards I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Okay, so he was talking, it says, but none understood it, refers to the fact that the comprehension of events in the distant future was difficult. Presently, in the light of the history of many of these things, especially considering that they are beginning now to come to pass, our understanding of those things which Angel Gabriel intended is being enlightened. So here, Daniel's vision of 70 weeks of years, his confession and prayer for himself. So it says, it started at verse 1 in chapter 9 of Daniel. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. It says, this vision was seen about a year after the one in Daniel chapter 8. So the unique glory of this chapter and of this prophecy is that this alone foretold the time of the Messiah's appearing in the very year of his crucifixion. So understand this. It says, in the first year, verse 2, of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, I don't want to go into all of this, but I just want to briefly explain. It was talking about the judgment. Daniel had a vision in the latter part of the chapter. So he's getting information. And all it is saying that because Israel disobeyed God and Israel continuously turned away from the way of God, God announced that they will be put in captivity for 70 years under Babylonian rule. In actuality, they will be in bondage or deal with judgment for 490 years, but this was the first a part of the judgment that was set. It says this 70 years has nothing to do with the 70 weeks of years, which Daniel will see in the vision in the latter part of the chapter. So this is a totally different vision. Okay, so he found out that they were under, see, the reason why Daniel was under the Chaldeans or Babylonian rule was because of the 70 years prophesied by Jeremiah that Israel was going to be punished for their disobedience. So now he's in the latter part of the 70 years, and he's setting his faith. He read the book of Jeremiah, and he understands why they're under this captivity. Don't just pray to get out of your problems, because some problems or some things is a result of some sin or some things that we refuse to address. Okay. It's due to some disobedience, whether in our lives personally or as a nation or whatever, and some neglect of our spiritual walk, that God has allowed some things to occur. Why? We just read that he wants repentance. See, he wants repentance, because if God just gets us out of our problem and we never see why we were in that situation from the get-go, we'll go right back into doing the very same thing once he delivers us. So there has to be a seeking about the face of God, to know what to do, to get some understanding, to recognize progressively. See, that was the purpose of Christ coming, to recognize what was happening and what Israel had done to put them in that current state or condition or position. So this is what Daniel does. Once he realized, Daniel was a part of this 70-year captivity. It was coming to its end or to its close. And now recognize what Daniel says. Listen to what he says in verse 3 of chapter 9. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So Daniel was seeking God for the deliverance of Israel from this 70-year captivity, as was promised by the Lord. So his prayer was based upon the books, i.e. the Bible. So he read in the book of Jeremiah that they were going to go into this captivity for 70 years. So what happened in verse 4? He said, and I prayed unto the God, the Lord my God, and made my confession. This is the proper way to pray. Some of us are just praying to get for the Lord to get us out of problems. Some of us are just praying for the Lord to deliver us. But have we prayed like Daniel? Because look, Daniel found out in the word of God where they were prophetically, what the time of visitation by the Lord meant to him. Why are we in this predicament, Lord? That's what he said. He said, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them who love him and to them that keep his commandments. So it says there is a reference here in Daniel 7:9 from which the latter clause is quoted verbatim. This particular chapter in Deuteronomy exhibits God's love for Israel. So he wasn't trying to destroy Israel, but Israel was refusing to hear what he had to say. Why? Because they refused to change. They did not desire a change of heart. They did not desire for God to put his commandments and laws into their hearts by changing them by the Spirit of God. So Daniel appeals to God's love. And it says, as well, we should know the evidence of careful acquaintance with preceding scripture. He says, verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity. Are we praying this way? Or we just asking God, get us out of this mess. Save us, Lord, save us. But have we truly turned to God and to seek out why we are going through this, whatever it is that we're facing? As a nation, as a family, as a church. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. You see this? This is the proper way to approach God. Some of us are just approaching God to get answers to fix a problem without a desire to change the heart, without a desire to live for him wholeheartedly based upon his way. Now watch this with Daniel. He says, neither have we hearkened unto your servants, the prophets. God sent prophets and servants after servant, and most of them killed the prophets which God sent. They put Jeremiah in a mud pit. They put him an oxen around his neck. They threatened his life, but he was sent by God. You see this? He was sent by God, but yet they chose to try to kill him. They said, we don't want to hear what you have to say, Jeremiah. They went to pastors and prophets and preachers that would say what they wanted to hear. They did this. Then they would tell God one minute, oh, we'll obey you, Lord. We'll do what it is you said do. But then when God revealed what they needed to do, which was go into Babylonian captivity, oh no, they didn't want to do that. They made an alliance with Egypt, and God said, if you go to Egypt, if you rebel and do this thing, I will destroy you in Egypt, and you will never see the land that you were born in. Daniel realized, oh Lord, neither have we hearkened unto your servants, the prophets, which spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. It said Judah had suffered 70 years of captivity. Why? Because she would not listen to the one true prophet, Jeremiah, who was raised up by the Lord. They rather heeded the false prophets. They went to the people that said what they wanted to hear. Now, Daniel's still praying. Now, understand, he got understanding of where they were. They were in captivity to the Babylonians. So then he had to seek the Lord. Jeremiah revealed why they were in captivity and why these things were happening to this nation. Daniel got the word of God, the Bible, and he saw what was going on. See, this is what you and I have to do today in our current circumstances. For our nation, for our children, for our churches, we have to know what it is, why we're at this stage, what it is the Lord is seeking out from us as Christians, as people that say that they follow the way of God. What is it that we've done? And we have to repent from it. So he says, O Lord, righteousness belongs unto you, but unto us confusions of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near. There was confusion in the land. Isn't there confusion today? Many of us don't know what's true. We're getting information from all kinds of sources and it contradicts. One side says this, another side says that, and this side is saying that, and nobody really knows what is truth, what is of the truth. So he says, but unto us, he said, you're righteous. Righteousness belongs to you. But unto us, there is confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither you have driven them because of what? Their trespass that they have trespassed against you. See that? It says the phrase, but unto us confusion of faces refers to shame. Sin always brings shame. And only God can take it away. Now, he's still praying. Oh, Lord, this is the prayer that you and I need to pray for this nation, for our churches. This is how we should be praying. Oh, Lord, to us belongs confusion of face. To us belongs shame. To our kings, to our princes, to our fathers. Why? Because we have sinned against you. It says the Lord will only accept from the truly repentant heart. We have sinned against you because all sin in one way or the other is directed against God. Every law that's been created, whether it's abortion, whether it's gay marriage, whether it's it doesn't matter what it is. Anything that we're doing that's against God, whether it's having the church not having the right object of faith, which is the greatest sin, not exhibiting faith in the right object. We have faith in something, but it's not exclusively in what Jesus did at Calvary. So it says, he says in verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. See this? He says, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws. Daniel is praying and talking about the church. He's not talking about the world. It's not talking about the world system. So what was allowed, the captivity of the nation was allowed because God's people disobeyed the word, the will, and the way of God. God extended his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness time and time again. But listen to what Daniel says. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord, our God, nor have we walked in his laws, which he set before us by his servants and prophets. So why are we praying for an answer to get out of our problems and we're not repenting of these very things that Daniel calls out and names? Because we're doing the same thing today as a church. Everybody's walking in his own way. We're disobeying the voice of God. We're not walking according to his laws, which he set before us through his true prophets and preachers and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Verse 11 says, yea, all Israel have trespassed your law, even by departing that they might not obey your voice. Therefore, The curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because what? We have sinned against him. All sin is directed towards God. All sin. It says in the notes, when a curse is promised for certain action, it will be done according to God's word, just as a reward is granted for obedience. And Daniel 9:12, he continues, and he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem. It says God will always confirm his word and curse those who sin and bless those who obey. It says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. You see that? We have to get understanding of his truth, understanding of the times to know what to do. But in order to know what to do, we have to acknowledge where we are. We have to acknowledge where we are in our walk with God. You see, because many of us, we want God to move and work on our behalf. But where are we? This goes for all of us as Christians. Where are we? We cannot lay the blame on one another and this and that and this whatever. We have to go back to our own hearts. Are we walking by faith, total faith exclusively? Are we still wanting to just hold on to some of our ways and not let go when God says consecrate, separate, get rid of this crowd, watch the language, change your mindset. No corrupt communication should come out of your mouth. Separate yourself from all that is of it. See, there are some things that we're not doing, and we're praying and ask God to move on our behalf, but yet we're not addressing the evil that's in our own hearts. This is where God wants us. He says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet may we not our prayer before the Lord. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities ultimately and to understand your truth. Ultimately, God, it does not matter what happens in the world, because God will do what is necessary to get you and I where we need to be. And I want to prove this point that I just made, because I want you to see something. God will do what is necessary to get you and I where we need to be. Sometimes God will allow sickness. Sometimes God will allow circumstances just to move us in the direction of where he needs us to be. It does not take him by surprise, the things that we encounter in this life. But in his wisdom, he knows what it takes to get us out of the sin, the error, the wrong thinking, the wrong way of or whatever has got us in bondage. Whatever is hindering our progress in him. God knows what it is, and he will allow some circumstances to get us to where he needs us to be. Okay? So let's go to, I think it is in 2 Kings. Give me 1 second. Let me look this scripture up right quick. I think it's over here in 1 or 2 Kings. I'm not sure, but we'll find it right here. I think it's chapter 22. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22 first, and let's see what it is. And we'll get back to Daniel chapter 9 verse 15. So 1 Kings, and I think I said 22. Yes, 1 Kings 22. And let's see, it's talking about Ahab and him listening to false prophets. Okay. And I think I'm going to jump down to, let's go to verse 5, and then we'll go down. We'll skip around some. So here, Jehoshaphat agrees to help Ahab in a battle that he was having between Israel and Syria. Okay. It says this was because of two great defeats that Syria had suffered at the hands of Israel and because of Ahab's repentance. But now Ahab resorts to his old ways. So there was a warfare, and because he resorted to his old way, he needed help from the king of Judah, which was Jehoshaphat. Okay. Now notice here in verse 5, it said, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray you, at the word of the Lord. Now I want you to see, because God knows all things. God is the God of the world, the universe, the creator. Satan is just the God, little g, of the world system. He has dominion over the world system of the earth because man handed it to him in the Garden of Eden. Okay. So, but Satan is not the ruler of the world. Understand that he's not the ruler of the world. He's only the God of this world system. And then what this world system entails, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So that means you see it, you got to have it. The lust of the flesh desires it. The lust of the eyes see it. It gratifies us. And the pride of life, it makes us, it's ego. It makes us more, we think more of ourselves than what we are. Okay. It's what makes us stand out. Now here, Ahab at one point obeyed God and God helped him and he repented. Okay. You can read that in the previous chapter in 1 Kings chapter 21. But now he resorts back to his old ways. You know, Ahab was the husband of Jezebel. He resorts back to his old ways. And because he resorts back to his old ways, the Syrians are again a thorn in his flesh. So Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Judah, instead of him seeking the Lord about helping, just agreeing to help King Ahab, he says, okay, I'll help you. And then after the fact, how many of us do this? He asks God, he asks about inquiring of God. So here in verse 5, it says, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray you, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into your hand, into the hand of the king. So it says in the notes, these prophets proclaim or claim to be of the Lord, but were not. Okay. So Ahab and Jehoshaphat want insight, but Jehoshaphat doesn't realize he's aiding and abetting King Ahab in error, in sin. You see what I'm saying? So just because they're of the same nation of Israel, the two different tribes, two different sects, kingdoms, but they're all apart because they had a split. One was the tribe of the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, tribe of Judah. So they split, but just because you come from the same root doesn't mean that everybody's necessarily on the same accord. So be careful when you walk and touch and agree with people, just because they say they're Christian, just because they attend church, just because they have, you know, these things that look spiritual, doesn't necessarily mean they're walking in obedience. Always remember that. So here, Syria was allowed to rise up. Why? God knew about it because of Ahab's disobedience and his sin. So now Jehoshaphat is inquiring. He wants to know what the word of the Lord was for that day. But the king of Israel, who was King Ahab, he has his own prophet. He has men and women to say what he wants to hear. How many of us are like that? We're looking for people to say what we want to hear. But we have to be able to embrace the whole counsel of God, whether we agree with it or not. And this is what I mean by that. Because some of us just go to that which we agree with. We want to hear that which we agree with. Now, we should hear that which is in agreement to God's word. We should be in line with God, with truth as centered around the cross. And those that align with truth, that's what we hear. Now, watch. King Jehoshaphat will demonstrate that. So he brings his, King Ahab brings his false prophets and they tell him, go up. This is what King Ahab wanted to hear. Now, notice in verse 7, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? See, he recognized this is not a prophet of God. Everybody was saying the same thing, 400 men. And Jehoshaphat knows that when it comes from God, most of the time we, the natural flesh, will will not agree with what God has to say about it. Remember, narrow is the way that leads to life. Wide is the way that brings about destruction. And many go the broad way. So Jehoshaphat realized that all 400 of these men are saying, or prophets are saying, the same thing. Wow, let me check it. Let's see if there's a prophet of the Lord besides these that we might inquire of him. Now notice what the king says. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. See, normally the way of God, y'all hear me when I say this, the people that follow the narrow way are rejected by those that follow the way or the path of the flesh or walk by sight. In most cases, now he says, and the king answered and said, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Why? Why did he hate him? For he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Well, maybe Ahab, you're not in line with the way of God. So instead of Ahab saying like Daniel did, let's see why this evil has stricken us. Let's see why Syria has raised its ugly head against us. Okay. And let's see what it is, whether I'm in line with the way of God or not. He didn't do that. Now notice in verse 8, Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Now this prophet, it says, Elijah was also alive at this time and had already given several messages to Ahab, but was now ignored, or perhaps he was elsewhere in the kingdom. So the truth is, the true prophet's task is a thankless task. He is seldom sent to bring good news, but mostly bad. By and large, he is hated not only by the world, but by a carnal church as well. You see this? So it's the same today. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chechaniah, made him horns of irons and said, thus saith the Lord, with these shall you push the Syrians until you have consumed them. Say, that sounds good. That sounds real good. And that's what King Ahab wanted to hear. And in verse 12 says, and all the prophets prophesied so saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the king's hand. Now I'm going to finish. This will be the last scripture for tonight because I know I'm on your time, but I have to bring these points out. Now, here comes Mr. Micaiah, the one true prophet that King Ahab hated. Now, it's the same today. He says here, and the messenger who was gone to call Micaiah spoken to him, saying, behold now the words of the prophets, declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let your word, I pray you, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. See, true prophets seldom speak that which is good, at least about the present time. See this? The church doesn't want to hear it needs to repent. We just want to hear God's going to perform. We just want to hear God's going to fix it. We want to hear, go up, possess the land. Go up, do this, do that. But there was some sin in the camp. There was a reason why Syria had arisen against King Ahab. At first, he prospered when he repented, but then evil struck. And now, or he disobeyed God, and now God allowed the Syrians to attack. Now, listen to what Micaiah says in verse 14. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says unto me, that will I speak. This has to be every true prophet and true preacher and every true preacher and teacher in the land today. You cannot fear the threats of man, the fear of man. It's not about man, okay? It's about saying what thus saith the Lord. It says God gives us men as as God give us men as Micaiah that money cannot buy, who will not compromise their message, who will hear only what thus saith the Lord, and who will not be fearful of delivering that word to a lost and dying world. So listen, he says in verse 15, so he came to the king, and the king said unto Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. So it says, no doubt Micaiah's mocking tone showed that his words were ironical, but Ahab's hollow tone had already proved to Micaiah that he was insincere, that he did not care to know the will of God, and that he wanted prophets who would speak to him smooth things and prophesy deceits. This is where we are in the land today. We should want the truth and the facts about information, but many of us are listening to mainstream media, we're listening to Hollywood, and we're listening to those that will tell us smooth things, what we want to hear. The world system has painted an image. It has painted an image of the people that God used, the true people who God used, and it hates them. You see that? King Ahab hated the one true prophet whom God was using. He said, I hate him. Why did he hate him? Why did he hate him? He hated him because he spoke what God desired for him to say. And King Ahab did not want to change. Your words, when you stand on truth, will be hostile to this world, to the carnal church, to the carnal believer, to the carnal mind, those who walk by sight, not by faith, those who want and desire things that are contrary to the will and the way of God, those who are stuck on the image, the perspective of the world, the biases of this world system, they will hate truth. See what I'm saying? And I have to hurry up because my time is almost up. Now, notice here. And he said, okay, I'm sorry. In verse 16, it says, and the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure you that you tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? He didn't want to hear the truth. Micaiah had already, and even Elisha had told him the truth several times. How many of us are rejecting truth? It says Ahab's feigned desire to hear the truth is spoken for the benefit of Jehoshaphat. And in reality, he has no desire to hear the truth. So he was trying to pretend before King Jehoshaphat, because King Jehoshaphat requested that a true prophet of the Lord would show up. In verse 17, and he, Micaiah, said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no masters. Let them return every man to his house in peace. So Ahab was a false shepherd, and whether he believes it or not, he's about to die. And the king of Israel, verse 18, said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? Understand this, there are some people that will prophesy or tell you good things that are not from the Lord. And there are some people that will speak things. Paul said, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? They're speaking the truth, but because it disagrees with my carnal perspective and mindset, I will make them to be or appear as the enemy when God is actually speaking through them. You have to be careful. This is why you as a Christian have to be crucified daily. You have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to identify with Christ every day. Every day there's something in your life that needs to be yielded over to the will and the way of God. And when we don't do that, we'll try to force God's hand by getting people that will say what we want to hear. Okay? It says, and the king of Israel said unto okay, we read that. Verse 19. And he, Micaiah, said, hear you therefore the word of the Lord. Now, this is very important. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. So Micaiah, who is a prophet of the Lord, who's given insight as to what is happening from a spiritual perspective, from the spiritual world, relays what's happening to these leaders of the nation of Israel and Judah. Okay. Two two tribes, two nations, two kingdoms that were split. They came out, they were one nation, but they divided. Okay. So here he's giving him an insight, a glimpse, a vision that he has from a heavenly perspective. It says, and he, Micaiah said, hear you therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. So Micaiah is given a vision of the throne of God and it's happening there, which he now relates to both Ahab and Jehoshaphat. It says, and the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And this is the Lord speaking to the council of heaven. Now notice who's in the midst of this council. Satan, as we think, is not the red man with the pitchfork and horns in hell burning. No. Satan still has access to heaven. Okay? Satan and all the fallen angels and all the demonic spirits have to submit to God. Okay? They have to submit. They are God's tool. They are under God's control. They cannot do no more than God allows. God used them as puppets to get us to repent or to get us to see the error of our way or to get us in line with his will. So never get caught up in what's happening. See, when we focus more on the problems that we're facing, we make the problems bigger than God. Nothing that happens in the life of the believer is taken God by surprise. It's either allowed or caused by God for a purpose. Remember, all things work together for the good of them who love God and are called according to his purposes. Joseph, being hated by his family, his brothers, put in a pit. See, God knew in his wisdom, knew that Joseph's family and all the land of Egypt was going to experience a famine. He allowed the pit. He allowed the slavery. He allowed the being put in a palace and falsely accused. He allowed Joseph to be put in prison to eventually be made the right-hand man of the king of Egypt. You see this? You see this? This is the wisdom of God. Some of us are so stuck in our right now. Some of us are so stuck in what we see that we can't pray beyond the reality. Okay? We can't pray beyond what is truly happening based upon the wisdom and the mind of God. So let's keep going because I know I'm on your time. So he says here, Micaiah is given a glimpse into heaven and he hears the counsel of God amongst spirits. Okay? Good and evil. He hears the counsel. Now listen to this. It says, he tells him in verse 19, we just read, hear ye therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Micaiah is given a vision of the throne and it's happening there, which he now relates to both Ahab and Jehoshaphat. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. So it says the meaning is that Ahab's death in battle had been decreed in the councils of God. And that the divine wisdom had devised means for accomplishing God's purpose. See this? Ahab kept rejecting God and disobeying God in his way. He listened to his wife Jezebel. He implemented all kind of false and fake worship. He had innocent people killed, such as Naboth. Okay? And God, the counsel of God, even though he continued to sit on the throne and rule for a certain amount of time, God in his wisdom allowed him opportunity to repent. God in his mercy. See this? Sometimes we be wishing and hoping and wanting people, evil people, things to happen, but God is extending his grace and mercy and giving him an opportunity to change. God does not see people the way we see them. They hurt us, harm us, do things to us. We're ready to attack. That's not the mind and the way of God. God is holy, separated from sin. In verse 21, and there came forth a spirit. This is an evil spirit. And guess what the spirit did? It stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. God had decreed that Ahab would die in the heavenlies. Ahab was on earth planning an attack, getting men to say what he wanted to hear. He rejected the counsel of God. God was trying to help him. You see this? But an evil spirit shows up. Okay? We're still talking about understanding the times. Micaiah was given a glimpse. And the spirit stood and said he would persuade. So it says here, we learn from this as well as from Job chapter 1 that spirits of darkness as well as Satan at times have access to the throne of God. During the great tribulation, the coming great tribulation, Satan and all such will be cast out of heaven, allowed no more access. And that's in Revelation 12, 7 through 9. Now, verse 22, it said, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? Or in other words, how? How are you going to do this? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Now, all these people that King Ahab had gathered, which were 400 prophets, they all were saying what he wanted to hear. He did not know that these would be lying spirits promoted and prompted by an evil spirit. See this? And he said, you shall persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. This is God. God told the lying spirit, do it. See, you and I have to understand, we can only see this world, this finite little world that we're in, living in. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knows what's best. And so the note says the lying spirit would inspire these false prophets to prophesy the evil that was desired. All of this reveals that God and his heavenly hosts, including demons, on certain occasions have conferences concerning the affairs of men on earth. So this stuff happening, I want you to see, none of it takes God by surprise. What you and I need to do, not run to the courts, not run to the judges, not run to the politics, not run. We need to run to God who is over all, who is Lord of all. We need to know the mind of God and what is happening according to the way of God. Because ultimately, the lying spirit was allowed to put a lot, the evil spirit was allowed to lie to these 400 prophets. It says here, the idea is that God permitted such deception to take place of the rejected truth. So when you reject the truth, this is when deception comes in. If men will not have the truth, they will automatically have a substitute that will be more in harmony with their wicked ways for the time being. Ahab would not have the truth and would not listen to Jehovah despite all the attempts made by the Lord to reach this man. But he would believe lies and listen to his false prophets. The passage simply gives us an insight into the spirit realm, showing that behind all human acts, there are good and bad spirits seeking to carry out the respective wills of their masters. The Lord protects as long as he can, and when there is nothing else he can do to turn men from their wicked ways, error, and harm, at least by righteous means, he then permits demon spirits to deceive. This causes the individual in question to go further astray, and in this case, with Ahab, even unto death. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but notice Ahab chose his path. Verse 23, and we'll close. And now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning you. Says, true enough, it was not what Ahab wanted to hear. Ahab rejected. God even warned him that these prophets he was listening to had a lying spirit, and he still refused. Do you see the love and the patience and the long suffering of God? Not willing that any should perish. And I'm not going to read any further, but you can finish reading that on your time. But I want us to show that God is constantly trying to get revelation, understanding of the times to us through individuals, through his word. But it is up to us to not turn away truth because of a bias opinion. To not try, God will allow you, if you continue to reject truth, he will allow you to walk in error. There are so many people walking in because they've rejected truth that they're believing a lying spirit. And as we so often say, the biggest false prophet or lying spirit in this land today is the mainstream media, even whether it's in the face of the news outlets, whether it's in the face of social media platforms such as Facebook, whether it's according to YouTube, whether it's according to the mainstream medical, the mainstream pharmaceutical, the mainstream food and drug administration. It doesn't matter. Satan controls this world system, and he can have them say what you want to hear. And it may strike and bring fear into you, or it may strike and bring a temporary peace into you. Because a lot of people have put their faith in what they're doing to prevent this thing called coronavirus. But you and I need to turn to the living God. See what I'm saying? He will give you the wisdom and the insight as to what to do. And most of these mainstream medical and people will tell you what you want to hear, and you will not know how to deal with this thing and how to be protected in this season. So on that note, I know I was a little longer than normal, but it's been a while since I've been back with you guys, but I pray that I said some things that will direct you in your walk and your growth in Christ Jesus. So until next time, I'll see you again on Understanding God's Word for Such a Time as This. Thank you and be blessed.